If I can have your attention this morning, I'm going to begin our chapel service with prayer. One of the opportunities that we have as we come to worship is to lift other individuals up in difficult times in their life. I'd like to lift up one of our sister colleges this morning. Some of you are familiar with Milligan College. Don Jeans was their previous president. He retired last fall, was still on staff as their chancellor. He passed away yesterday morning very suddenly due to a massive heart attack. Their college community is in a time of grieving, and we'd just like to lift them up as we begin our worship time this morning. So let's pray together. Dear God, we come before you, and we thank you for significant individuals that you place in our life that lead us, that guide us, that direct us. We thank you for so many good Christian colleges and universities across the United States and the impact that they have on students. Just like each one of us, and staff and faculty as well. Right now we lift up the Milligan College community. Don Jeans was a great leader there for the last 14 years. We ask that you be with his wife, Clorinda, and with his daughter and son-in-law and his two grandsons, and that you give them support at this point in time. We also ask that you continue to guide this college in the future. She's had a great impact. And we ask that that continues. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Joshua Bueno, and welcome to chapel this morning. This morning we're going to be talking about what have we done our past summer. We have our MacQ summer team here who have gone out to different camps and different conventions and represent the school. We also have people who have gone on missions trips throughout the summer, and they're basically going to come up and just tell you what they've done this summer, how has it impacted them, and how they've had time to tell people about God throughout the summer. Right now, we're going to have our summer teams come up, and they're going to lead worship, and we're going to lead worship around the campfire. Me and Jared worked very hard. I was excited. So Katie and Tabitha are going to come up first and lead us in some fun camp songs.
I'm short. All right, I need everybody to stand up. Okay, does everybody or does anybody know you're my brother, you're my friend? Kind of? All right, well, we're going to show you how we're going to do it. And we're going to do it slow at first, and then we're going to speed up as we keep going. We're going to do it about three or four times. So pay attention. You're my brother, you're my friend. You're my beginning, you're my end. When the world just turns and walks away, you're my sunshine on a cloudy day. You're the rain that washed my blues away, and I can always count on you, cause you're my brother, you're my friend. So everybody get a partner, and we're gonna do this slow. All right, you're my brother, you're my friend, you're my beginning, you're my end, you're all around me when the world just turns and walks away, you're my sunshine on a cloudy day, you're the rain that washes my blues away, and I can always count on you, because you're my brother. Group of four, group of four. Find a group of four, hurry up. We're doing this one a little bit quickly. That side, come on, get to know each other. Groups of four. All right. Group of eight. Yeah. All right, this is the last one. We're going to do it really, really fast, so be prepared. You're my
Roman song. I don't really know what it's called. So there's an echo part in the second verse. So the first time, if the guys would do the echo and the girls sing the regular part, and then the second time, the whatever I just said, do the opposite. I forgot what I just said. I think the guys echo the first time, girls echo the second. Yeah, do that. Okay. And you have to scream and get up. So get up. That's good. Stand up. Okay, so I'll do it the first time so you guys can get acquainted with it, and then we're gonna do it again, okay? So it goes like this. Romans,
what?
16.
What?
19 says.
Say what?
Romans.
What?
16.
What?
19 says.
Say what?
Romans.
What?
16.
What?
19 says.
Say what?
Be excellent.
As you can tell, the camp teams are really crazy. When you spend a whole summer with high schoolers and middle schoolers, you don't understand. Yeah. Usually during campfire, what happens is we'll have a couple fun songs like that, and then we'll go into a small time of worship, where we'll slow things down, and we'll reflect on the lesson given that day, or the speaker who's coming up to give their devotion, or to give their message. So right now, we're all going to slow things down. We're going to go out with a couple of campfire songs that we learned this summer. This one is called I Will Not Be Distracted, and this one talks about saying, you know, I see the trees, and they're stretching higher in one direction, and they're reaching towards the Father. And the lyrics are not going to be on the screen. This is just kind of like a time to really reflect on who God is and how awesome he is, and pretend nature. Pretend trees, you have fire. Yeah. I see the trees reaching higher. One Direction. Reaching toward the Father. And they will not be distracted. No, they will not be distracted. No, they will not be distracted by this world. I see the flames. I see the flames. Reaching higher in one direction. Reaching for the Father. And they will not be distracted. No, they will not be distracted. No, they will not be distracted by this world. Lord, take me. Take me higher. Give me one direction. Reaching toward the Father. And I will not be distracted. No, I will not be distracted. No, I will not be distracted by this world.
This next song was a song we did at a camp. We would do it every night repeatedly for a campfire. We make sure we do different songs, but we were to make sure we close out with this song. This song goes, it talks about the wind. It says, blow, wind, blow, burn, fire, burn. And it talks about, I will not be ashamed of our Father, I will not be ashamed of the Son, and I will not be ashamed of the Spirit.
Ashamed of you, Lord. I will not be ashamed of your spirit. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time, God. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with one another, fellowshipping and praising you, God, and just getting to know who you are and learn more about your love and your grace and your mercy that you have for us. God, be with us throughout the week. Help us to stay strong, keep working hard. Help us to be people of integrity and people of you, God, and help us that in everything that we do, all the glory and honor goes back to you, Lord. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Start singing Kumbaya about you guys. Hey, how many of you have been to a summer camp at any time in your life? Just raise your hand. Okay? Now, can you remember the name of your camp counselor? How many? Raise your hand, because if I can do it, many of you can. And that's the point. Thank you. The point is that when we supply these summer teams, they go and they be the counselors. Students go, hey, that guy was really cool. That girl was awesome. Maybe I'll think about going to that school. But that's not the important part as much as it is that girl was awesome, that guy was cool. They lived out their faith, and that's the point of summer teams. We want you to live out your faith, and yes, you can earn a little bit of scholarship, and yes, you get to spend the time campfiring every night. That's a hard option to beat. It's pretty cool. But it's all these opportunities rolled into one. And I spent a little bit of time with these guys, getting them to grow. Come on up, Em. But I got to go off to different camps with the beloved and talented Emily. She is a great travel partner. She sleeps all the way up, and she sleeps all the way back. Doesn't need to potty too often, so she's housebroken, and if you can get her to... Oh, that's right, I'm not trying to sell it. Anyways, can I have my slide? Is this girl ready for battle or what? When you're at summer camp, you have to be ready for anything. I thought I was ready for this. Let's find the staff. This girl came out camoed and ready to rock and roll. There are so many different things. This is the second time that I'd been at Sylvan Hills. I was there last summer, and I had the same kids. I had many of them in the same dorm room again. And that was a lot of fun, especially the same kid that I put salt in his bed last year, just because he tried to keep pranking me over and over again. But that's a whole different story for a different time. But God used my time at this camp to stay in tune with nature, with the kids, and with just a little sharpening in my own soul. So camp is for everybody at every stage. Go ahead.
That's really tall. Sorry. Like I said in this picture, one of the cool things we got to do at camp was a staff hunt. So yeah, camoed up and ready to go. One of the other cool things I got to do at camp this year was I got to write my first campfire devotional and then give it, so that was one of the most empowering things that I've gotten to do. I was nervous, but I got an opportunity and a chance to reach out to kids who may not know Christ, and I got to give them a little bit of what it's like. Yeah.
I'm Josh.
I'm Jared.
And we're Team Awesome.
We had to do this so many times this summer, and we missed half the time, but actually one time the first week, we went to speak, and we did it afterwards, and it worked great, so that was wonderful.
We didn't mess it up. I was happy.
This here is a picture. I think it's my Facebook profile picture, but what you can't see, or you can see we have face paint on, what you can't see is that before this picture was taken, it was done really well. We were at Park Springs Camp in Providence, North Carolina. It's about central North Carolina. It was really cool. What happened was we were playing a game of manhunt, so they gave the staff socks filled with baby powder. We went around hitting the kids and just saying, oh, you're out. That's what we did. But we had paint, and the really cool thing was Josh painted his face all like Darth Maul, so he's like black and red. And I had like white paint, so I did the whole thing over there. It's really thick paint. And then I had black around my eyes and like a red smile, so I was a joker. It was pretty sweet. But then we're playing, and it got so hot, and the paint was so thick, like I started sweating through the paint, and I'm like, this doesn't feel right. And so I had to wipe it all off, and so what you see there is just a mess of what it is afterwards. But it was a great time, and we had a great time going through camps. We got to go through a lot of different camps, and then even 2 weeks, we split up, and he went back to his home camp, and then I went to a different camp, And then another week, I got to go to Wilmington for a week, and he had a break week. So throughout the summer, I got to travel with Josh, and at times it was interesting. But other times, throughout the rest of the summer, it was just a great experience overall. I think Josh is next picture here.
This is at my home camp in Maryland at Indian Lake Christian Service Camp. And I've been going there for, I guess, going on 4 or 5 years. And this is my maybe second or third year being there as staff. And this was a time, the very end of the week, there was a girl who came up who wanted to be baptized, and she asked me to do it. I don't know if you know, but if you're asked to baptize someone, that's a nervous thing. It's a very big thing. It's a very kind of amazing thing. So this was definitely one of my memories for the summer, especially how awesome this girl was during the week and how she was so ready to give her life to Christ, and the fact that she wanted to share that with me and share in that joy with me to ask me to do this baptism for her was awesome for me. So. Do you want this one, Jared, or what?
Right. Okay. This is at our 6th and 7th week at camp. We were in New York at Catskill Camp, and they had a game they wanted to play, Angry Birds. So instead of playing the video game, we made the game, and we had like 2 volleyball poles down the field, and they put bungee cords there, and they had boxes, and they had kids set up balloons, and people stand by the boxes. We had big exercise balls. They painted them like the birds and put like a little half a football on it, so it was like Angry Bird, like exercise ball size. So we pulled it back in the bungee cord and like shot them at people in like the boxes, and it was a great time.
At first, the objective was to hit the boxes that looked like pigs, but then we started telling the kids to put the pig masks on so we can hit them with the balls, and that was a lot of fun for us. Probably not them, though. Yeah. I'll take this one. This is Catskill Christian Assembly. This is our 5th week. This is a week that it was a lot of fun for us as a senior week high. The biggest memory I have of this week, if you can see Jared there in the middle, he's kind of doing this thing. We had bear sightings at this camp. I've never seen a bear in my entire life until this camp. I thought I was going to have to die or wrestle. And luckily neither one happened. But it was funny because it happened during, I think it was like staff hunt or camper hunt. And then someone was like, I see a bear somewhere. And I was like, we should probably get them in the cabins and not hunting them. It was like a mama bear and 3 cubs. It was scary for me. I didn't know what to do. Luckily the bear, it kept its ground, like it stayed away, and the week went very well.
At the same camp, there was one point where some of the staff, the older people, we were standing on the, they had a porch there, and underneath it was a dumpster, and from about me to Zach was a bear, and so I was taking pictures of it, and it's sitting there, like, right there, like, eating in the dumpster, and it was that close, and it was, I'd say maybe about that tall, but, like, its arms were, like, huge, and, like, it was just a bear, and it was pretty big, but the thing was really cool. To my left in the picture is one of the Johnson representatives, Drew Harden. Really cool guy. We ended up getting actually temporary tattoos, pink and blue dolphins one day. Really cool thing. But through the whole week, there were bears there. And like one time we were watching a movie inside the chapel, and the people were outside making sure to watch us. And then so they said one time the bear came up to the window and like, looked in at us, but we didn't see it, so that was kind of good. But really fun thing that me and the 2 guys from Johnson, Drew and Cody, we were on bear patrol sometimes, so we heard there's a bear over by the guy's cabin, so we go and get things to help scare it away. I had an exercise ball to shake it, and then they had a shovel to hopefully fight it, I don't know. But we were on bear patrol, and like that was a fun thing for the week. And like the whole time, big Cody, he's like 6'3" and like 200-something pounds of muscle. He's like, I didn't sign up for this, and like he was scared, but it was fun though. And so our summer, we had a lot of adventure, and bear watching was part of it. So.
I don't know if you know, but if you ever see a bear, just clap at it and say, no bear. It will do absolutely nothing, but hopefully it'll help.
It's all you.
This was a week at Park Springs Christian Camp. And I was on mail call duty, and what I would do, I was helping the rest of the staff like come up with funny things for the campers to do unless they got mail. And I came up with the idea, I was like, look, would it be unethical, Professor Woolard, to say if we had a kid who wanted to get their mail by licking one of the staff members' toe? And they're like, that's a great idea. And they were really excited about this, like more excited than I thought they were going to be. And I was like, all right, cool. And they're like, well, let's put hot sauce on it. And then they have to lick it off the toe. I'm like, all right, you took it to a whole new level. But I was like, this is your camp. You do what you... And they're overly excited. And then when mail call came around, I realized why they're overly excited is because I got mail. And so, yeah, thanks, Dan. And so in order for me to get this mail, I had to lick a hot sauce. There's no words. Hot sauce off a big toe of a full-grown man. And that's basically the story.
That same day that Josh got mail, I got mail from an unknown source from MacU. We saw the letters. It said MacU and it said everything from that. I had the same thing that spun the wheel, and I ended up getting an ice bath where I had to tuck my shirt in, and I took a cup of ice water and poured it down my back. Not the most fun, but it was...
That's nothing. You didn't have to lick a toe.
Yeah. Don't. You had to do it. And we took a video of it, and it's really funny, so fun time.
That's basically it for me and Jared. I want to give a shout out to Kyle Layfield because me and Jared got the opportunity to go to Mountain View Christian Camp this summer. And I have to say, Mountain View is probably one of my favorite places for cafeteria food, camp food. And really cool people because Kyle Layfield's there. And Abby. I know Abby. Yeah, hi. All right, cool. Team Awesome's out.
Hey, guys. I didn't see any bears this summer, so it wasn't that exciting.
No.
But,
no bears.
This is a good picture. All right. That is actually John Snoots from Town South Church of Christ. And the whole week we were talking about 1 John and his love and everything. And John ended up losing a flag football match. And he told the losers that they would have to do shake and bake. If you don't know what shake and bake is, you have to jump in the pool with all your clothes on and then go roll around in the volleyball court.
Just like the chicken, only you're the chicken.
Yeah. So the whole time, like you can see Charlie Stevenson, who's actually the camp manager. John's like, I thought I taught you about mercy, you know, you should just forgive me. Like that's what the whole week's been about. And all the campers are going, push him, push him, push him. And so Charlie finally gets the pool stick and just shoves him in. And then we all run over to the volleyball court. And John ends up having to get tackled because he won't go in the dirt. It took 6 people to get John down. That's saying something. And then he comes up, and then you just see people scatter because he's trying to hug them. So that was intense. This isn't a very good picture, but this is actually the week that Jared was with Katie and I at Blue Ridge Christian Service Camp. And this is dodgeball. They don't do outside dodgeball. They put this fencing up in the garage or the chapel that they have there. And you basically fight to the death, I feel like.
Like dodgeball the movie, except real.
Yeah, basically. So the whole time, they had, like, it was a bracket, and they had different tournaments during the whole thing, but it was the most intense game of dodgeball I've ever seen in my life, and I never wanted to participate in it, ever. This is you, Kate.
Oh, okay. So we have campfire every night, as worship kind of explained, and there was this time of just confessing everything and just letting go and letting God, pretty much. And there was just this group of girls, and they were sitting next to me, and all of a sudden you just hear the, you know, like, I just got something in my eye, it's a bug, no big deal. And you just see them, like, lose it, like, head down, ashamed, just done. And I sat there for a second, I was like, all right, God, please give me words to say. I'm really, really nervous. I don't know what to say to them because I don't have the best life, and I know they don't have the best life, so what am I supposed to do? And I sit there, and I'm like, twiddling my thumbs, and I wait for the sniffles to go away, and I just scooch over, and I'm like, hey guys, do you want to talk? And as soon as I said that, I felt like a mom, because I just had 4 girls just tackle me and like, give me a hug, I just want to talk. So I sat there for about an hour talking to them, and they were just being open and honest and just letting go and being real with me. And like, if people who don't know me, I'm very hard to trust, not very hard to trust, I have a very hard time trusting others. Sorry, I'm a trustful person, but it's hard for me to open up to people, and the fact that 4 girls that I've never met before, never knew before, that are younger than I am, they saw me as the adult, staff, don't do this kind of person, and they just saw me, and they just tackled me, and just like, hey, I really need to talk, like, this is what's going on in my life, and having that was awesome, so.
Was that the last night at Blue Ridge?
Yes, that was the last night at Blue Ridge.
All right, the very last night at Blue Ridge, I loved all the camps I went to, but this night at Blue Ridge, it was probably the most intense and emotional night that we had all summer. everybody in the camp broke down. Like, Neil Aliugood was there. He could attest to it. Like, everyone was crying. I think it pretty much made my whole summer just to have that time where the kids were actually opening up and talking to us. And it made all of the stress and sweating and bugs worth it.
Next slide. Okay, again, another picture of the infamous dodgeball. Okay, this one was mine. This was at our first week of camp at Camp Pitt. Camp Pitt. They had this awesome worship set every night, every day. You want to know, like, hardcore, like, rock and roll, like, seriously, that was worship. All of the kids were not in their seats. They were not sitting down twiddling their thumbs. They were all up front as close to the stage as possible and just worshiping God. It echoed so loud that I had to go make a phone call outside, and pretty much from me to Neil Aliugood, I could still hear it. They were that loud and that into worship. And for me, worship's my favorite part of camp, just saying, and food. But just hearing the kids just, like, you think of high school kids, some of you were still there, you want to be on your cell phone, you want to be on Facebook, you don't want to do anything, you just want to be lazy, it's summer, why am I here? I don't want, like, that attitude, seeing kids just being like, you know what, I'm not sitting here, I'm just going to walk my butt up and worship Jesus. Like, that was awesome. Like, just be able to hear that. I didn't sing because I was so moved by everyone else singing with me and singing around me. So that's what I was talking about. Yes, this is my favorite part. Okay, so there's these little giant mousetrap of a balls things. I don't know what they're called.
Zorbs.
Zorbs. Okay, you jump into these things, and you're like, you know when you have a little hamster around, and like they're rolling around a little like ball,
it's a human
and you
want to
just kick them? And like,
it's a human hamster wheel.
Human hamster ball for adults. Awesome thing ever. So dangerously, we had two kids at a time race each other and come back. Well, there was this kid from Milligan, his name's Jonathan, and he was like, I'm gonna stop this Zorb with my toe. His whole nail came off, blood everywhere. It was disgusting. One kid almost threw up in one.
Didn't we roll over Jared in one?
Jared did get in one. And
he got rolled over. He laid on the ground and got rolled over.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But
oh yeah, him and Josh Trueblood. If any of you know Emily Cooper's boyfriend, that is who that is. It was our job, or the counselor's jobs, to stop the Zorbs with the kids going in them. So Jared and Josh Trueblood's a pretty big dude. They're like, let's stop this with our bodies. So what they did is the Zorb came at them, they jumped into it, and it knocked them back into the gate and the kids back halfway down the basketball court. So it was counterproductive.
So Jared and myself, we got a chance to get into the Zorbs, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm just gonna take this slow and steady wins the race. I'm not gonna fall out. I'm good. Meanwhile, I wanna throw up. It's hot and sweaty in there, everyone's been in it. And Jared's just like, yeah, man, let's go, and like running. It was awesome. But yeah, that night really proved that, yes, you're an adult staff. Yes, you're a counselor. But camp's really for you, too, because you get moved by the messages. You get moved by the kids there, and you get to have fun with the kids. So for me, a learning experience was you can be a kid at any age. Just say it. Is that it? Sweet.
I think that's it. Okay, bye.
This is a video.
Okay. This truck is going in the wrong direction. What's your reaction to that, Zach?
Okay.
We're on our way to Tennessee.
Okay, so that was our first week out on the way to Tennessee. I'm sitting in the passenger seat reading a book or crocheting or something, because that's what I did for 10 hours, the 10-hour drive. And Zach goes, Tiffany, look at that. And I look out the window and I'm like, ah, what's happening right now?
And so he said, hey, do you have your camera? And so that's how that video happened.
I don't talk much in the van, and that was like the only talking I did.
It was really, really funny. Okay, so this is me jumping off a 75-foot cliff. Dan earlier mentioned having faith. It was just a really cool thing. Zach and I were at CIY for 5 weeks this summer. And one of the weeks we really connected with this youth group. And basically pretty much all of the college reps and even a CIY intern came with us to this place. And we get there and they're like, all right, let's go jump off the cliff. And so I went up there with two other guys, and like the first guy jumped, and like I looked to make sure he didn't die or anything. Like I run to the edge and I'm like, all right, he's alive. So then I back up and I'm like, okay. And I just went and did it. And one of the other girls took that picture. So
I didn't do this. I was too scared. she did it.
And needless to say, we ate right before doing this, and I get car sick on windy roads, which is basically what it was to get there. And so on the way back, I was so sick. I was sick as a dog. Like, I couldn't even stand up. I just went and laid in my bed.
That's partially my fault. I was kind of going faster on the turns. And I made
so
it.
Anyway, this is my favorite week of the entire, CIY part of my summer, because I did have 2 weeks of camp and they were awesome. But for CIY, this was my favorite week. I met the leader of this youth group the first day of CIY. Her name was Lori. And she was super awesome. Like, she was like 40 or something, 50. She was pretty old, but she was really awesome. And she like from day, hey Dan, from day one, she invited me to be a part of their youth group and to like just hang out with them, go to their group time, go off campus with them, do fun stuff. And this was at CIY. Okay, so I went to this entire, well, my bad. I went to this entire summer thinking, okay, so I'm going to go minister to kids, I'm going to help them, pray with them, you know, just minister to them. And I never thought for one second, I don't know why I didn't, but I just never thought that God was going to work on me and in my life over the summer. But he did, and it was amazing. And one of the largest weeks was this week. Every week at CIY, they talked about forgiveness. It was like the main theme of CIY. It was like the intense emotional night of CIY. It was on Thursday night. And so this night I went with this youth group to talk about, like after the message, because it was a really heavy message on forgiveness. And then I just went and sat with this group. And there's a girl in this picture. She
Julie Shaw.
Her name is Julie Shaw.
Red shirt.
She's in the red shirt. Yeah.
Everyone friend her on Facebook. I'm not kidding.
Yeah,
like, encourage her to come to Facebook, or MacU, not come to Facebook.
She is super awesome. And we were all just, like, talking in this room, and Julie Shaw gets up and leaves. And I was just really, really convicted to go talk to her. Like, I just really felt like she needed somebody to talk to. And so I go out, and she's sitting there, and so I kind of, you know, like Katie was saying, that awkward moment when you're like, okay, God, I need the words to say, because I have no clue what I'm going to say right now. And so I just sat down next to her, and I was like, hey, do you mind if I sit here? Do you mind if I talk to you, pray with you, like whatever you need? And we ended up talking for like an hour and a half or something crazy. And we shared testimony, and we have the same exact testimony. It was so crazy. And it was just amazing how God put both of us in the same place at the same time for that moment, because that was the moment that both of us needed in our lives to make huge changes. So it was really cool. And like Zach said, she's really interested in MacU. Like, she was just really impacted, I guess, by the week. And she's my friend on Facebook, so if you go on my page, you can friend her. Just be like, hey, I'm from MacU. Do that. Okay. So, like I said, that was my favorite week of CIY.
I don't know what I'm doing there. I don't.
That was when you were playing Capture the Flag at night.
Oh my goodness. My team was Sparta, and I had a battle cry, and that's basically, we just played Capture the Flag in the dark with glow sticks, that, and it was a lot of fun. I beat every kid at checkers. They were all not on my level at all. I beat them all. Not really. They were actually pretty smart, and I'm dumb, so they beat me quite a bit. Ultimate Frisbee. That was the only time in the summer we played it, actually. So.
Yeah, and I learned how to play it that week. I had never played it before this week.
That's me, my cool self. Yeah.
Driving, because he drove all summer.
That was actually the one before that. We spent most of our summer at CIY, which is 5 weeks at CIY. And we only spent 2 weeks at camp. CIY, I encourage anyone who wants to be with youth at all, anything, just go to be on summer teams. Whether you're on CIY or camp, you get a chance to interact with the youth. You get a chance to be their leaders, be with them, just interact with them. And it's an awesome experience. And next one.
Okay, so this was at Camp Christian, right? Camp Christian, which is in Pennsylvania. And they had this like obstacle course in the trees. And we just went, like some of the kids and I and some other counselors just went back there when they were playing Ultimate Frisbee. And we just chilled, took pictures. But this was like this balance table. And you got all these, you see all of us on there and we're all trying to like get it to stay straight and balanced. So it was just fun. It was just a fun thing. And I can't believe I forgot to put this picture up there because it was the most amazing part of my summer besides CIY, the week that I really liked the CIY. I got to baptize a girl this summer. And like Josh was saying, it's really awesome. Like I felt very honored. I don't know if you'd, but I was just like, I feel so honored. But at the same time, I was like, I am so scared because I've never done this in my life. But God really moved on that campus that night. It was at Camp Epicaseca. Mm-hmm. And her name was Morgan, and she was one of the girls in my cabin, so I kind of got to know her throughout the week. And she just came to me on Friday night. God really moved in the kids. It was really awesome to see. We had like half of the kids come up to the front and rededicate their lives, or say, hey, I want to be baptized, or hey, I want to get rid of this sin, or stuff like that. And so I was just up there praying with a couple of the girls who came up and talking to them. And then she came up and she said, Tiffany, will you please baptize me tomorrow? And I just started crying, like unabashedly crying. And I was like, of course I will. This is great. So that was really cool. And I can't believe I forgot to put that picture up there. But that's it. Okay, that's it. Now I guess the mission people are going to come up and talk. So, bye.
Yeah, we're going to talk about short-term missions. So why or how important is it to go on a short-term mission trip? You might be familiar with Rick Warren, the pastor out in California. He wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. He suggests that every single Christian should go on a short-term mission trip or more than one. And the reason is that we're just learning to be disciples. All of us here, you know, faculty, staff, students, everybody, we're on the road of putting ourselves in a position where we can see how God works. We can see, you know, how other people live. We can see what God is doing in other places. And so I think just part of discipleship is to put yourself out there in faith into strange positions. And with the era of globalization, we got to get ourselves out there with people of other cultures and languages and just say, well, how do they live? How can I serve Christ here? And so it's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to see how God can use us to serve others. Now, there will be opportunities. Some of them, I think, are going to talk right after this about their opportunities they had this summer. So if you want to know more about how to do a short-term mission, you can talk to any of these guys that went on trips. And also, this year in Mission Emphasis, right after our fall break in October, we're going to have three different groups here who just specialize in short-term mission trips that will be talking to you, and they will be having chapel services, and they'll give you opportunities to go on these kind of trips. If that fails, we've got the International Conference on Missions in November, so yeah. Sign up for that. All right, guys.
Okay, Jay and I went to Santiago, Chile for 2 whole months this summer, and I'm gonna let Jay speak for a few minutes and then I'll talk.
Is this one on too? Okay, cool. Cool. So we don't have a lot of time because Jared talks so slow. So we're going to power through this one. All right. I don't like to share this with a lot of people, but I really believe that MacU is my family. So I want you guys to know a little bit about my history. My parents divorced when I was 6 years old. And so I grew up with my mom and with a kind of there, sort of absent, kind of out here father. And I had that view of God for a long time. Okay. So when I was 16 is when I became a Christian, and that's when I got my father in heaven, who is the father that knows about me and cares about me and is interested in my life. And when I went to Santiago, I got to see other kids learning about this father, and it was really cool. There were these two girls, Javiera and Constanza, that had just moved to this orphanage a month before we got there, and they were the worst. They were so terrible. They were like fighting with their brothers and sisters all the time, and it was insane. But we got to watch them transform in the 2 months that we were there into obedient children who understand the gospel of Jesus. And they were, what, 6 and 8? Like, mm-hmm. Kids, children. And they understood what it meant to have a father that adopted them better than I did. And that was the thing that blew my mind about this summer. And now Brittany's going to tell you what we actually did.
So this is a, okay. This is a picture of me, and Joshua is in the hat, and Alberto is in, well, the other one. And these two were the oldest, besides one other girl, and they really touched me because they really showed leadership in this orphanage. Yeah, sometimes they messed up. Like, Alberto, he was really great at stealing. He loved to steal things. And that was actually Jay's roommate for a little while. And so they just, but they understood what it meant to have to show love to others with Christ. Like, they showed love to their brothers and sisters. They looked out for them. And they just really, like, I really got close to them because I really enjoyed being around someone who is willing to step up and show the love of Christ to your brothers and sisters who aren't even by blood. So they really touched me a lot. It was really cool. This is the whole group that we went with. This is Javier, Joshua, Constanza, Alberto, Juanito, Coney, Nayeli, and Carla. And the lady in the middle is Fabiola, and she was the one we lived with, and she was our supervisor, and she is an amazing woman of God. And yeah, she's crazy. But we thought all Chilenos were crazy. So, but this is what we did our whole summer, is we just spent time with these kids, and we showed the love of Christ to them, and we showed, not only did we show love of Christ to them, but they showed it to us, because we learned quite a bit from them as well. So we got to work in an orphanage all summer and just hang out with kids. So kind of like y'all, but we didn't really understand much of what they were saying. So, but anyways, so yeah, that's basically what we got to do this summer. And we actually met this mission at ICOM. So you should really go to the International Conference on Missions, because it is great. And I'm leading it. And so you should go, because it's great. So you can meet a lot of cool people there. So
and
that's
this year,
we're
getting
did.
A hotel, not sleeping on a church floor. Showers.
So that's basically what we did.
And I went with a group called Teach Overseas to teach English in Vietnam. Vietnam is a closed country, which means that you can't go over there as a missionary. So we went over as English teachers, but our main goal was to talk about Christ and build relationships with the people we came into contact with. So this right here was one of my favorite classes. I know you're not supposed to have favorites, but it happens. And the best thing about this class is that they had a sense of humor. One day, their unit was on travel. It was on shopping. So we were talking about different kinds of markets. And I was telling them about flea markets, and I explained to them what it was. And they were like, oh, teacher, we understand. They were like, we call this a sky monkey. And I'm like, what? And they're like, we call it a sky monkey. And so I was like, okay, you mean like a sky monkey, like the animal? And then they just laughed and they were like, no, we meant market. So I was like, okay, that makes more sense. This was my team. While we were in Vietnam, we couldn't go to church. So this was my family, and they were also my church family. They were just a really great group of encouraging ladies, and they were all pretty brave, because they don't wash dishes in Vietnam. So we had to, you know, there were things that we had to do that we just weren't really comfortable with, but we encouraged each other, and we had a really good time together. This is a picture of karaoke. And the Vietnamese people do karaoke in a really cool way. In America, usually people drink and do it in front of people that they don't know. But here, they would rent their own private party room, and it would just be you, your friends, and a karaoke machine. So it was a lot of fun. And they love American 90s music. So we sang a lot of Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears. So basically the good stuff. It was great. This is a picture of just like a shrine to their ancestors. They would tell us that they were atheists, but when we would talk to them a little bit about what they believed, they would, you know, talk about heaven, and they would tell us that they prayed to their ancestors or to kings or past leaders of Vietnam. So they were searching for something spiritual. And this was proof of that. Every time we walked into somebody's house or we went to a shop, it would be sitting right there in the doorway. So it was just a constant reminder of the spiritual darkness in Vietnam. Okay, and that's it. Thank you.
If you ever talk to Ariana, say si po, don se si. That's how we say it in Chile. When I was in Chile, I was in there for 6 weeks. I was in the same city as Jay and Brittany, but I was on a different area. And I worked with a skateboarding ministry called Urban Action, and it was built on relations, relevance, and hope. And as you can see here, I'm with some Chilean skaters. That's Manuel. He was from a different part of Chile. It was only about an hour away. I never caught that dude's name. And then the guy behind him fixing his ankle, that was Leonardo. He was cool. He looked like a conquistador. I thought that was funny. He had like the long black hair and the facial hair. But what I really got to see this summer and what God worked on me was the really big importance of relationship ministry. And I've always wanted to go into ministry for that, but I really got to see the importance and why Jesus Christ did it when he was on the earth. These kids, all they have really is each other. When they need advice, when they need guidance, they go towards each other. And when you do that, you typically end up like Rehoboam in the Old Testament and end up making poor decisions. So Urban Action came in as that good role model, as that good advice-giving elderly people. And they were trying to build relationships with these skateboarders so that they can get on a right track and come to know Jesus. I agree with Dr. Reese. I feel like every Christian should go on a mission trip. And I believe that we're all here to do some form of ministry. And I think that form of ministry is going to have something to do with relationships, whether it's missions, whether it's evangelism, or working in a church. It starts now. I mean, yeah, these kids, they exist. They're still in Chile, you know, doing the same thing. But there are kids just like this in the U.S. And, I mean, I have friends like this in the U.S. So I think that God really spoke to me saying, you know, there's so much to do everywhere. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, you are called to be an ambassador for Christ and disciple for Christ. And we need to build relationships and invest our lives into people. That's the biggest thing I learned. And if you want to know anything more about Chile and my experience, because there's so much I could go over, just come up and ask me. Thanks.
Okay, you can go to the next slide. So this is a house I spent an awful lot of time in. This summer, I went to the inner city of Memphis, Tennessee with an organization called Leader Treks. Memphis, I love it. This is actually in the neighborhood of Mitchell Heights. I spent most of my time there, but also worked in Orange Mound. This is a house that, like many others, yes, it's a house, there are about 420 or more boarded up houses in the neighborhood of Mitchell Heights. A lot of evil goes on in these houses, a lot of prostitution and drug making, and just a lot of things happen. And this was one of the houses that actually happened in. I actually found someone coming out of that back door. But anyhow, we did our VBS here. This street is on the corner, this house is on the corner of Gibbon and Holmes, which 5 years ago was actually the worst street in Memphis. The cops wouldn't go down it. It had a lot of evil, a lot of things going on. There was a convenience store across the street from this house that the gang ran out of, and basically they would have men outside of it called Gangster Disciples who would sit there and mock the police and yell threats at them. So even the police didn't go down this house. If you'll go to the next slide. Our missionary partners told us many things to do that would really improve the community. One of the things was to build a community garden. So this is what it looked like, actually right beside the house when we first got there. Had a lot of pulling the weeds, and it was hot, and we would sing Christmas carols just to make ourselves feel cooler because it was in the 120s. If you'll go to the next slide. This is an incredible lady. This lady's name is Miss B, or Miss Bell. She actually lived five doors down from the garden. And back in the day when the street was really bad, she began to pray. And she prayed that God would change the heart of these men who were in, and women who were in the gang. And when she saw that their hearts were not being changed, she said, okay, I'm going to pray. God, please just move them out of my neighborhood. She's kind of what's known as like a neighborhood grandma. She has all the little kids come over, and she feeds them, and she takes care of them, and she just has a really big heart for her community. And so she began to pray that prayer that they would leave. And within about 5 days, the smokehouse and the convenience store that was down the road actually burnt to the ground. All you see now is these little studs of where it used to be. And she came down when we were working, kind of that picture that you saw before, and she asked my co-intern, she said, what are you doing? And he told her, you know, kind of our mission and what we're doing and how we're making a neighborhood garden. And she said, I've been praying for 5 years every day that God will put a garden here, because in this neighborhood there are no grocery stores, there are no banks, there's no way that I can get fresh fruit or vegetables or things like that. It's actually easier to get a gun or a prostitute or things like that than to get a salad or an apple in that neighborhood. So it was really cool. As we worked on the garden, kids would go by and ask what we were doing. We were like, oh, we're making a garden. They're like, oh, I want carrots. Give me tomatoes. So it was really, really cool. If you'll go to the next slide. This is actually kind of as we finished it. The Intentional Neighbors, our missionary partners, are kind of going to take this over, and they're actually planting wildflowers here to bring more vegetation to this ground. As we weeded, we found purses and shoes and guns and shotgun shells and all kind of wonderful treasure in there. And so they're going to do that in this fall. There will actually be fresh fruit and vegetable available to that neighborhood. So that was probably one of my favorite things we did. We did many things, and I could tell you thousands of stories, but just knowing the amount of impact this is going to make to the community and future generations was awesome. Thank you.
I apologize for things running so late this morning. We're gonna wrap things up kind of quick, but I just want you to look back and see how you might have been able to affect someone's life this past summer. And if you weren't able to, I want you to be very intentional, you know, as you go out and interact with everyone day to day. We talk about going out and doing missions work. We talk about being on special teams to do things, when in reality, we can change lives right where we are with the people we interact with every day. So let's go out and try to make a difference in this world. And we can start that here. We can go out further. There's quite a bit that needs to be done. I had shared one time before that only 32% of people in this area are affiliated with a body of faith. And that could be anything from going to a temple or a mosque or anything else, not just going to church. So we need to go out. There's a great need here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be a holy priesthood. We just ask you, Lord, to allow the Holy Spirit to move through us and to guide us in our relationships that we have, in our interactions from day to day. We thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, to have the saving grace of Christ and just help us to share it with others and to show others the love of Christ through the actions and the words we speak. We thank you so much for all you've done, and just ask you to continue to watch over and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.